We'll see you at the Amazing Race. And now, let's kick off our new series, Praying For.
All right. Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Everybody who made it in the house, hello to all of you. Hello. And everybody out there, I know there's some of you watching online, wherever you may be watching from, just wherever you may be, thanks for giving God this time and letting us be a part of that. And whether you're in here or out there, I will say my hope and prayers that I know God wants to meet you, and I pray that you have met him so far in our worship and continues today. As we kick this off today, if you don't know, we are in week number one and the beginning of our season of prayer, and we call all of this together praying for. I'm really excited about the next several weeks. So if you don't know, we take the whole month of September and we actually want to mark that as a month of praying as a church. And so at this point, what I normally do is I tell everybody, get your Bibles out or electronics and grab them and go to one place that we spend time. But I'm going to be honest, we're going to be everywhere today. We're going to be in a whole bunch of places today. And so I'll say you can go ahead and get your Bibles out and try to keep up, okay? But I'll have everything up there for us today. We're just going to get into a lot of stuff this morning as we get started in our season of prayer as a church. But before we get to that, I do know that just since we started these three services, I think that there's a lot of new faces that are here. And so you may be here today, and maybe you're here for the first or second time, and you're just trying, you're checking us out, seeing if this is a church for you, or maybe it's been a while and you've come back. And we're so glad that you are giving God this time. And so real quick, what I want to do is before we get into the message today, I do just want to share quickly a little bit about us. And so you know who we are and what we're about. So for us at River Ridge Church, here's really who we are. As a church, we have really one goal and we have one mission, all right? And here it is. Our goal is that as a church, we want to follow Jesus as best we can. That's our one and only goal. We just want to follow Jesus. And our mission, or the reason why we're here, is that we want to be a church who exists to help you take the next step in your spiritual journey with God. That we want to be a place that helps you take that step. That's the mission, just to help people take steps. So we will always be following Jesus here, and we will always be a place that's pointing you in the God direction, pointing you to the step that you need to take with him. And with that, we also want to be a place, because of what I just said, see, we want to be a place where, and I'm not kidding about this, where everybody is welcome. Everybody is welcome to come in to hear and think about Jesus. Doesn't matter who you are, what you believe, what you think, what you did last night, or what you're thinking about doing. Doesn't matter. We want to be a place where you could come and feel like you're in a safe place to hear about Jesus, because here's what we know and what we believe. We know and believe that Jesus can set you free and that Jesus can change your life. How about it, everybody? We believe that. We believe that. So we want anybody and everybody to hear that message. That is good news for everybody. That's in earshot of hearing what I hear. So we want to remove as many barriers as possible that get in the way of hearing about Jesus, including religion, by the way. Religion is a barrier. Jesus did not, I say this all the time, Jesus did not come here to start a religion. He came here so that you could be in a right relationship with the God of the universe, who made you and loves you and made a way for you through what Jesus did, so you can have a real, vibrant, moving, thriving relationship with God. It's possible. Through Jesus, it's absolutely possible. And so we're just here to help everybody get there and then keep taking steps as they grow in God. So we have programs and we have events and we have groups and we have all these things, but every single thing we offer, every single thing we talk about, it all funnels down to that one big idea. We just want to help you take these steps to get closer to God. In fact, last week, if you were here last week, we actually had one of those big steps to get in community, to get in a group. So we had what's called Group Link, and that was just this big event that we have a couple times a year where, you know, we help you get into a men's group or a women's group or a home group where you could be connected and be connecting with God and his word and being prayed for and being known. And last week we saw 90 people get signed up for a group, everybody. That's awesome. Yeah, we saw 90 people. That's amazing. Get into a group. And I say that because if you're here and maybe you missed last week and you didn't know about it, or you heard about us talking about groups and being connected that way, and if you're like, man, did I miss it, Andy? No, you didn't. Our groups have not started meeting yet. In fact, all of our groups are still open. And so if you're here and you missed last week for whatever reason, here's what you could do. After service, you can go out into the lobby by the fireplace, and Blair or Brandon or both of them will be there. And so you can go there, find out more about what it looks like to be in a group, what being in a group means, to just find a group to be studying the Bible with, be known as a family, as an individual, as a couple, however you want to do it, and get plugged in there. So I hope you take that step today, because our groups aren't meeting for another couple weeks, so you got some time, all right? And another thing, and then we'll get going, another thing that we want to do as a result of all this stuff is here's like what we want to do here on a Sunday. Like on a Sunday, when you come in here, what we want to do, what I feel like I am called by God to do, is we really want to be intentional to talk about the Bible in a way where we are growing in what God is saying, like growing and knowing what the Bible says, black and white stuff of what God's word says. And we also want to just be a place where there is a practical application of what we're learning about, so that we can, this impacts our daily living with God. That we should be able to walk out of here from a Sunday and not just say, man, that was great on a Sunday, but no, this is going to impact how I live on Monday and Tuesday and all the way through till we get back here together and we need to re-energize again. So with that said, it's important to know that because of what we're going to be doing over the next 5 weeks. What we're going to be doing over the next 5 weeks, really practical stuff, we're going to be talking about our prayer lives. We're going to be talking about what it means, what it looks like, how God wants to come in and help us in that. And so here's what we're going to be covering over the next 5 weeks in our season of prayer. We're going to be talking about praying for God's presence. That's going to be today. We're going to look at praying for God's power to be more evident and clear in our lives. We're going to be praying for God's people, that we could become united as a group of people going after Jesus in a world that badly needs Jesus. We're going to be praying for God's protection as a result of that, right? We need God's protection against the enemy, against the schemes of the devil. We're going to be praying about that, talking about that a little bit. And then finally, we're going to close this out by praying for God's passion to get restored and just find renewed love, find renewed excitement in living for Jesus, okay? So let's get going. First thing that I want us to do is I want to make sure that we're all in the same. I do this every time when we start a season of prayer. I want to get us all on the same page with what we're talking about and what praying actually is, okay? So when somebody just comes up and asks, hey, what is prayer? Like, what is praying? And I would say that for the most part, here's the answer that you would hear, at least around here. What you would hear is you would hear, well, prayer is communicating with God. Or somebody say, prayer is really having a conversation with God. And I would say that's not a bad answer. That's a pretty good answer. But I would also say that God actually says that it's a little bit more than that. That it's just a little bit more than that. Because here it is, like when we pray, or when we are putting ourselves in a position and a mindset to pray, see, the very action of that is creating and carrying more than a one-sentence answer to that question. It's just there's a lot more involved in that. And then it becomes here something it's not something we just do, but it become a powerful thing between us and God. And so here's what I would say, and you've heard this before, but this is what I would say, the answer is that I would give to what praying is. So praying is the connection that God gave us to be in a place where, listen, we can draw near to him. Like draw near to the God of the universe because we have access to him. We can have confidence in our access to God and that he is available and ready to listen. And also, he wants to give you answers and feedback in your life. Like that's what I would say praying is. And because of that definition, it's why we talk about praying every season here at River Ridge Church. There isn't a semester that goes by where we don't talk about or have a series on praying, and because it's so important, everyone. Like praying is important in the life of every single believer. We had a big meeting with our prayer team last Sunday, and somebody brought up an amazing point in our prayer team. And they said, listen, praying is not a spiritual gift. Like everybody has this ability to access the God of the universe because of what Jesus did for us. We all have an ability to pray and to come to God and communicate with him and allow him to come into our lives in a stronger, more powerful way. And so it's important for all of us then to be praying in the rhythm of your life and in your family and in your marriage and at your job. And yes, for us as a church, it's so important for us to be praying together as a church. Actually, I think it's more important now for us here at River Ridge Church church is more important now than ever. Right now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but like God is moving in powerful ways, everybody at River Ridge Church. I don't know why or how, but he is just showing up. And it's an amazing thing that you can just feel God moving. This is, Holy Spirit's really moving through this place. It's kind of a revival of sorts. And I've told the staff every now and then, it's not up to me. I don't get it all the time, but there are seasons as a church over the years that I've been a pastor, there's times where God will just kind of impress on me like a word or just a phrase as I'm praying for us, praying over the church and praying for that. But this season, this was a couple months ago, as I was praying, or this is kind of happening when we were going through Nehemiah and just seeing the incredible response that everybody had. I mean, we were like, oh man, how are we gonna get these three services done? And you all said, it's gonna be easy, okay? It was amazing. And I feel like God gave me this word over the church, this word, and it's becoming more powerful as I think about my eagerness. Like, I just feel like right now with us as a church, I feel like there's just this willingness. There's like this excitement for Jesus going on. And we're growing. Like, we're growing. And honestly, we do not know how to keep up with what God is doing. This is our best shot at it right now. It's three services. And the second we did three services, we filled up again. And so we're not really sure what God's answer is all the way. I wish I had it, but we're still trying to figure this out and figure out space. And so we don't know all this stuff. But here's what I can say. You know, for all the things that we're trying to figure this out, in the meantime, come on, everybody, we could pray. Like, we could pray. We could pray for God to continue to grow us. And here's the most important thing. I want us to continue to pray that we see God continue to do powerful things at River Ridge Church. How about it, everybody? Everybody want to get into this season with us? Yeah, come on, let's go. We want to see God do more. I do. At least I want to see him do incredible things. And he wants to, and he's able. And so why not get into it and have him do that? So with that said, here's what we're going to do today. I hope you're fired up, because I am. We're going to talk about praying for God's presence. This is kind of set up the whole series, just talking about and praying about God's presence. We need to find ourselves in and really be operating out of God's presence, everybody. That's like the message in a nutshell, okay? Because here's what God wants to do. You know, I did a deep dive in where the Bible specifically talks about God's presence, like what it says about God's presence. I found a lot of places, and I actually have those scriptures referenced for you in your notes. But just a few places ago, to get you thinking about what God's presence does, a few places. Here's Psalm 16:11. Says this, that God, you make known to me the path of life, and it's in your presence that there's fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That's one thing to think about. Here's Exodus 33. This is what God said. He says, hey, my presence is going to go with you. And here's what he'll give you. He'll give you rest. Anybody need some rest today? You know what I'm saying? He's like, my presence will bring you rest. I love this one. The more that I'm so glad that God put this on me this week. I love how he describes his presence here. Here's what it says in Psalm 31. It says, all right, how great is the goodness you've stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. And here it is. You hide us in the shelter of your presence, that safe from those who conspire against us. You shelter us in your presence, far from accusing tongues. I love that word on God's presence. Here's the last one. We all know Psalm 23, but I love it. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because your presence is with me. You're with me. And your rod and your staff, your presence, they're going to comfort me. I feel your comfort. I feel your presence, God. And so when we look at what the scripture says about God's presence, that in God's presence, it brings joy. It just brings amazing pleasures. It brings peace. It brings rest. It brings protection. It brings comfort. How about everybody? Anybody want a little bit of God's presence in their lives a little bit more? Man, I know I do. So let's just talk about and figure out how God's presence works. And more importantly, how we can find ourselves really setting our hearts and our prayers towards the presence of God. So if you got your notes, go ahead and get those out if you haven't already. Because here's the first thing that we need to understand about God's presence. Really a huge thing to understand. And it's this. It's that God's presence, though, it's already present. It's God's presence is already present. So this is kind of I don't know if it's called ironic or not. I don't know what it's called. But even though we're talking about, hey, we got to pray for God's presence. We got to be in God's presence more. Here's what we need to know. We also need to know, and it's really good news to know this, that God's presence, when it comes to this, like God's presence isn't something that we create. It's not something that we have to conjure up by our own efforts. In fact, it's one of the greatest gifts that God's ever given us. The more I think about it, the great gift that God gave us is this, is that his presence is actually independent of our actions. His presence is independent of what we do. Actually, I love how David puts it in Psalm 139 about God's presence and that it's always there. Listen to what he says. He found, like, this is, he's like, this is what I found. He's like, hey, so where can I go from your spirit, God? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And I just, you know, I feel like God put that on my heart because I just feel like somebody needs to hear this today. I don't know if it's you or maybe in another service. I just feel like somebody needs to hear this today. Listen to me. There is not a place on earth you could go, and there is not a depth by which you could sink to where God's presence can't get to you. Come on, somebody, because it's always there. His presence is always everywhere. It's all around you all the time. I came across an amazing quote by C.S. Lewis this week about it. I love this, what C.S. Lewis said. He says, okay, so listen, and this is a truth. We may ignore it. In fact, there are some of you here today, right now in God's presence, that you might be ignoring it, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. Listen to what he says. The world is crowded with him. I love that. He walks everywhere incognito. And the incognito is not always hard to penetrate, but here's the real labor for us. The real labor is to remember, to attend, in fact, to come awake to his presence, and still more, to remain awake. Isn't that such a great quote about the presence of God? So here it is. Like, this is what we want to get down to. So if God is already present, if he's everywhere, all over the place in the world, here's the question. So why pray for God's presence if it's already everywhere? And here's why. This is what we're going to get down to today. Here's why. Because prayer doesn't make God show up. It actually wakens us up. You hear what I'm saying? Like, these prayers that we're talking about today, it's not going to make, God's already there, but what it's, the prayer is about is really, it makes us wake up to God's presence that is already there. So here's the big idea about praying God's presence. Praying God's presence, it's like tuning our hearts into God who's already with us, so we don't just, feel like we're near God's presence, but that we are fully aware of God's presence. And I'm going to tell you something. There is a huge difference between like being around God's presence and actually being aware of God's presence. So what does this awareness look like? What is this awareness? So I'm going to give us some, again, I feel like this is just kind of the start of our season of prayer. This is going to kind of carry out through the next 5 weeks, this message, I think, in God's presence. So I want to give us just a couple things to think about because we already know God's already present. Just some things to think about when it comes to almost like the where and the how this actually happens, okay? So if you want to write these down, this is, I'll explain it once I say it. Here's the first thing I want us to think about when it comes to God's presence. I want you to think laundry room, not lightning bolts, okay? I think that might be the most memorable note that I made all year, everybody. Like, you will not forget this one. Think laundry room, not lightning bolts. So here's what I mean by this. What I want to challenge us in over, not just this season, but like really in our whole prayer lives, like I want you to start thinking about really just the rhythm of your prayer, like the rhythm of your prayer life, where you do it, how you do it. Like, I want you to really dig in a little bit because here's what I really think. I really think this is an issue for a lot of Christians, but I want, what I want us to get into is like, we need to get into a rhythm of prayer in the ordinary so that you're ready for God to encounter you in the everyday. Like, I think that there's a lot of people that are missing this because we're a little messed up on how God's presence works. Because, listen, what we need to understand is that's where his presence works the most. It's in the ordinary every day. It's not, so it's not only in these big spectacular moments where you see God really show up. And I say this, and I made this note because I actually think, at least without knowing it or in the subconscious, we may think that, we may believe that. That really God's presence only shows up in these big, like you hear it around here actually. And again, it's not wrong, but here, you know, you hear this a lot. I hear this a lot. Like, you know, you hear it in our night of worship. You'll hear people say, man, God really showed up here tonight. Well, I'm like, well, he's all right. You know, right? He's really, or you hear it on Sundays. Man, God's presence was, you know, you really felt God's presence today. And again, that's not false. That's true. But what it can really get us to thinking, if we're not thinking about it, is that in order to really feel God's presence in a major way, then you have to have all this stuff together, X, Y, Z, and all these words, right? You have to have all these elements put together. But if we were only thinking that that's when he shows up, we're going to miss him way more often than he wants to show up in our lives. Everybody understand what I'm saying so far? So far, so good. Like, we can miss the ordinary ways that God wants to meet you. And those are way more accessible. Just do the math, right? Like, those are way more accessible, okay? There are two really good examples of this in the Bible. The first example is with a guy named Elijah. If you don't know much about Elijah's in the Old Testament, he's in 1 Kings, and he was a prophet of God, and the king of Israel at that time, who Elijah was a prophet of God by speaking, the king wasn't really following God, and so he was following these other gods, but more importantly, he was following this other god named Baal. He had all these other prophets like speaking into his life, and so Elijah one day said, all right, king, listen, man. He drew the line in the sand, and he said, you've got to make a decision. Like, you're either going to follow the God of the universe, the real God, or you're going to like follow all these other idols. You're going to follow all these other gods. And he said, okay. And so what happened is they had a showdown. They had a showdown with it was Elijah and God versus these 450 prophets of Baal. And Elijah said, okay, what we're going to do is set up an altar. I'm going to set up one up, and you guys set up one. And we're going to pray. And you pray to your God, and I'll pray to God. And whatever God, like, ignites this altar and sets it on fire, that is the true God. And so they did that. He let them go first. He goes, you go first. And so they're, you know, dancing and prancing around and doing whatever they do. And nothing happened, right? Like, nothing got ignited. And then Elijah, he worships God, right? And God comes down and he ignites the altar and it lights on fire and it kills all 450 prophets. It's awesome, right? And everybody like turns to God, right? Powerful moment, right? Like, God's presence was surely there. But here's what I want to talk about. See, after this amazing thing, like, after Elijah, see, like, so what happens is, like, the king's wife sends a message to Elijah that she's going to kill him. Right? And so Elijah, after he saw this amazing thing that God did, you decimated these 450 prophets, he freaks out and he runs away and he hides in a cave, okay? And so then the Lord kind of says, hey, I need to talk to you. And so this is where we're going to pick this up. And he's in the cave. And so here's 1 Kings 19, and this is what it says. So God tells me, go out and stand before me on the mountain. This is what God said. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, here it is, everybody, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. And Elijah said, there he is. Because look at what happened. Then when Elijah heard the whisper, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And it's there where God engaged deeper, more fully with Elijah. And I guess my point is on this one. My point is this. I think sometimes, I'm just saying, we can miss so many opportunities to meet up with God in the whispers doing laundry because we're too busy trying to find him in them big old lightning bolts. You hear what I'm saying out there? Like, I think we need to find him a little bit more often in these ordinary times. The other example that I love is Moses with the burning bush. And so if you grew up in church, you know this story. And chances are, if you didn't, you probably know it as well, right? It's a really famous story. And so I want to read about this one really quick too. This is in Exodus 3. This is just another example of how God works. So this is Exodus 3. It says this. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. All right. So there, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. So Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. And so Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, that's when God called to him from within the bush. Moses, right? So here's a few things that I notice about this story, okay? One is that when we read the story or think about this story, I think what we tend to do is we tend to think about focus on the spectacle of the burning bush, and we think, well, geez, Andy, that's not so subtle. Like, that's not like a subtle thing, but a couple things to think about here. Okay, I want you to think about why we read this is I want us to pay attention to what was actually happening. Because first thing to see is what you got to catch is what Moses was doing. So what was Moses actually doing? You know what he was doing? He was working. Like, he was at his J-O-B, okay? Like, he was not in, like, this room with a candle lit and just, like, playing this, oh, like, no, 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 cloak over his head, like, God, like, no, no, no. He was out there with a whole bunch of goats going, bah! Like, you know what I mean? You ever, man, I don't know why, like, I get on this crazy, like, goats are the most obnoxious animals in the world, and sometimes, like, you ever get on YouTube and watch, like, the really weird ones that, like, sound like human beings screaming? I can't get enough of that. In fact, there was one birthday where my kids got me a goat where he pushed the button, and it does, like, the weird one's like, bah! You know, I love it. You know what I mean? It's like, if you ever, side note, like, I get, like, you, sometimes, I don't know about you, don't, you sometimes get bogged down on watching these YouTube videos, and you blink, and it's midnight. The other day, I did that. Yeah, you know what my favorite one is? Is where you watch the goats that freeze when you yell at them. They're like, ah, and they go, ugh, and they fall off slides. And they don't get hurt. I don't understand that. All right, back to Moses, okay? So, I just think it's important to see that Moses was just working. He was just doing ordinary, everyday work, the task ahead of him, right? And the other thing is that people think that this fire, right? They, well, it was such a big spectacle, but I don't think it was. Because if you go back and read, notice how he actually saw it. He noticed it, and I think it wasn't this big, like, thing that happened. It's like, oh, no. It said that he watched it, and he looked at it, and he goes, huh, that's interesting that bush has not been all burned up. Let me go check it out. So I don't think it was as, like, crazy of a spectacle as you think. So again, what's our takeaway here? Well, I think that our tendency is to treat God in his presence more formally than we should. That's my big takeaway on this. And I think we will miss it more if we do that. But if we can turn our minds and our prayer lives to the idea, it's a simple idea that there aren't, that God's presence isn't just designed for these big, overly ornate, designed, like, holy times where that's the only time God's presence is really going to be. I think we'll be more attentive to the ordinary times when he wants to show up, and he's going to show up way more often. You get what I'm saying? I think that's what he's trying to give us, okay? So I think he'll show up more when we're on a run, more when we're mowing the lawn, more than we're in the cereal aisle. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like that's what God wants us to hear today. So here's another thing that we need to get as well. Here's the second thing. That God's presence will also be stronger, though, as I step closer. God's presence will get stronger when I step closer. So back to Moses. When he noticed the fire, like, so when he noticed the fire and it wasn't going out, here's what he didn't do, right? Here's what he didn't do, which means might be our tendency to do. So here's what he didn't ignore it. Right? He didn't, like, bat it away thinking, ah, my eyes are playing tricks on me, and it, you know, and he got back to goat watching and, right, and making him freeze and all that stuff, right? He didn't do that, right? Instead, what did he do? He said, let me go check. He walked towards it to actually see what was catching his attention. And so I think for us, what this means for us is for us to be more awake to God's presence. See, being more awake to God's presence, it can't be passive. It's got to take action on our part. That's all I want to say on this one. It means moving towards him. So Moses didn't just notice the bush. He moved towards this. And then notice what it says. Just don't miss where God's presence came, because it's when he watched. It says, when the Lord saw that when he looked at it, no, that it, when he was going over to look. And I don't think it was when he landed. I think he was like, Moses, come here now. I see that you're, right? So that's when his presence became more fully involved with Moses. Like, so Moses could have kept walking. Easily could have kept going and thought, man, that's weird, and just went about his day. But the Bible says when God saw that Moses went over to look, that's when God calls his name, Moses. Moses. So in other words, awareness requires action in order to get deeper in God's presence. Awareness has to have some action on our part to get deeper in God's presence. It's not enough to just notice something. And so here's what this practically means for us. What this means for us is that we got to lean in. And sometimes and this is why I think a lot of us miss this. In order to lean in, it means you got to interrupt your routine a little bit. And to be ready to interrupt your routine, you've already got to be kind of prepared to be aware. Like, God, help me notice you. And then when you're like, ooh, there's something, then you got to lean in to be more aware of that. I think sometimes the encounter happens when you simply turn aside and you step closer to what may seem like God wanting to speak into us. So how do we step closer? Here's my final thought on this. In addition, again, today is all about, this is our prayer today. Like every week we're gonna have a prayer. So in addition to this prayer, and our prayer is this, I don't have it on here, but just write this down. God, let me be fully aware of your presence. That's it. That's our prayer. God, let me be fully aware of your presence today. Let me be fully aware of your presence in this meeting. Let me be fully aware of your presence in this run, in the classroom, right? Wherever I am, let me be fully aware. That's our prayer this week. Here's the third big thing that I want us to think about is that I've got to increase my awareness. It's not enough just to pray for it, but I think we've got to find ways to increase our awareness of God's presence. So in addition to this, we got to find these ways. I think so often God is speaking, but we're just not aware enough, or here it is, slowed down enough to notice it. And we just got to be able to slow down a little, pray, and be more fully aware. So here's one thing that you can do, just a couple of practical things that we could do. At the end of the day, you can ask two questions, and I think this will help you. Here are the two questions that you can ask. One is, all right, today, where have I met God? Like, where have I met God today? And here's a second question. It's just as important. Where have I missed him? Like, where have I missed God today? And I really think if you could just do this, and this is not that hard. Again, it's not like you have to get to this specific, but man, it's an easy question. Man, where did I meet God today? Where have I missed God today? If you could do this, I think you'll start not only see here, you'll not only see how much God is actually around you, which again, we've already seen always, all the time. You're also gonna see how many opportunities, listen to me, fly right by. It's in a conversation. It's in a quiet time. It's even in the challenges, right? You know what I'm saying? It's even in the challenges where his presence can just come right there, be fully aware of it. This actually happened to me on Wednesday, this very thing. So we've been adjusting to some big changes this season as a family in the Tool household. Like we've been, we've got a lot of changes in school and growing up. And so we've been talking about as far as how we respond as a family to things that are a little different. One of the big changes for us right now is middle school. Anybody feel me on that one? Anyone say amen to me to help me out a little bit, right, man? It's a big change. Big change. A lot of things going on. And so we've been talking about it, praying a lot about all that stuff. It's like we're living in a different planet, everybody. You know what I mean? I'm like, what happened? You know, so I mean, it got to me this week. I was praying so hard for our family. I was praying, for that specific thing. And it was weird. I was here in the office, and on Wednesday, I forgot something at home. And so I got in my car, and I went down right there by the light, by Sheets, and I had everything off, and I was like, God, just help me just to be a good voice into this. And I was praying specifically to be aware. I was praying for me to be more aware. And don't get this. I'm telling you, I do not get this very much. And I got this nudge to turn the radio on. It was really weird because I don't listen to the radio. And so I'm not kidding you. I turned it on, and the song that came on is I Know a Name. I didn't even know we were singing it today. I promise you, I did not know. And it came on right in the beginning of it. And I'm like, oh, man. And man, the words came like, I know a name that can silence the roaring waves, man. And I'm like, yes, it can, right? I know a name that is the only name that saves. And that is the only thing that is worthy of my praise. Anybody with me so far? And man, I'm telling you, I was cry singing. I was like, yeah, you know, at the light, you know. And I was like shower singing. You know how you sing in the shower when you don't think anybody's watching you? It was like that, right? And it was, I'm telling you guys, it was like this Moses thing. And I don't know, I'm just telling you, I guess I'm here to tell you and testify that, like, I was already kind of saying, God, he was already meeting me. I'm not so sure I would have noticed that nudge if I wasn't already saying, God, put me in your presence more, and I'm so glad he did. Because I am telling you, like, he met me at the stoplight on a way to get lost medication. Come on, somebody. Like, that's as ordinary as you could get. Anybody forget medicine anytime? And I'm like, come on, man. And God's like, here we go. Like, come out of that cave, Andy. Come on, man, it's awesome. He wants to do that for you. And he's there in the ordinary. He's there at the light by the sheets, okay? Like, you know, maybe it's a special place. And if you saw me the other day, that's what was happening, all right? Here's what I want you to do. This is just one last thing, two things. One, commit to one thing. One thing that you change or increase or start, just to help you be a little bit more aware of God's presence. I made a little list for you there on your outlines. You can look at it yourself. These are things that I just thought of as I was going through. I made one blank because it's not about those specific ones, but I pray over that and say, God, help me be more fully aware of your awareness or of your presence. And maybe he just circle one of those this week and say, all right, I'm going to make a commitment to that one. And I made a blank one because maybe God will be like, hey, it's this. It's this one. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. So I just want you to think about just committing to one thing to make a change. And here's the other one. Here's the biggest thing that I want you to do. Man, just make a commitment to come in with us in this season of praying. Like, we made it really easy for you. And I pray and hope that on top of making that one decision, that you just come with us in the season. So I'm gonna put this up here really quick. So on your way in, you got our 28-day prayer guide. If you didn't get it in, go out there and get one. All right, grab one. And our first day starts tomorrow. Tomorrow is day one of our 28 days of prayer, and we're gonna be unified and all as a church. Just think about that. We're gonna have almost 2,000 people praying for the same thing. So get your Bible, get a Bible app, get that. It has a scripture on there to read a little bit, think a little bit, and for all of us to be praying about the same thing together. It's a powerful thing. God showed up last year, and I believe he's going to show up again. So hope you join us in that. Another thing really quick is, man, maybe you're here, and we know this because we get this all the time. You might need prayer. You might need to be prayed over. And so we have prayer cards for you. We have them every Sunday, but we made them special during our Praying For series. So if you look in your chair backs there, and you can grab one right now if you want, you can either write a prayer right now in this moment, or you can just grab one and take it with you and bring it back and drop. We have boxes out here in the lobby. We'll have them all month long. And so as you get a prayer that you want us to pray over, listen, we have a prayer team. We have a prayer team, and they don't just come up here on Sunday to pray for you. They cover this church in prayer. Like, we've got a prayer, they make prayer quilts, and we take them to hospitals and people who need them. They pray over your prayer requests. We get them all the time, and they pray over that. They do so many things other than just coming up here on Sunday morning. And so they want to pray for you. They want to cover you in prayer. So if there's something you want us to pray for, we're going to be doing that all through this month. So grab that praying for card that's in your chair back. Write that down. They're also available online. And so make sure you do that. And so is the prayer guide. So make sure you grab that. And here's the third thing, and then I'll be done. Starting tomorrow night and every Monday night during this month, we are going to have a prayer service here at 7 o'clock, where we're just going to come together just a little bit set apart, and we're going to come in here, worship a little bit, and then I'm going to kind of share for a few minutes, just pointing back to the message, and we're just going to get together and pray. It's just a time where you could come. It's not very formal. I'll be sitting on the stage just sharing a little bit, and we'll pray together. There's just different options that you have in that night. So it's going to be from 7 to 8 o'clock every Monday during the month of September. First one's going to be tomorrow night. So just different levels where you can join us and be a part of that. So however you do it, I hope you do all three of them and make a commitment to just add in this one thing to bring in God's presence more. And I know God's going to bless us. I know he's going to show up. How about everybody? Is he going to show up, man? I just hope he does. And so as we want that to happen, let me pray over us this morning to end our service. God, we come to you. And I know you are here. I know you are present. I feel it. And I want to be more aware of it. I know that we want to be more aware of it. Help us lean into your presence more. Help us to really experience more fully what you want to do. I don't want to just be close to it. I want to experience what your presence does and what you say can happen. So God, let us be confident that those things can happen. And let us have the courage to take a step towards that. Because of Jesus and what he did for us, we can have access to you. And I pray that with no fear, we step towards that. We lift that up to you. We love you. We thank you for your presence today, that it was felt here. And we pray that it's felt tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, all throughout the week for us, wherever we go. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, have a great Sunday. If you need prayer, we're up here to pray for you. Grab that guide. Get in a group. Go to that and visit Blair, Brandon. We'll see you next Sunday.